This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. I'm sure those of you of a certain age know how to balance a checkbook. Maybe you still do it by hand. You know who you are. But I bet there's a whole generation that had no idea how to do it, if even they still have checkbooks. But the good news is they don't really need to, because we're all carrying pretty powerful calculators in our pockets. And there's a bevy of smartphone apps that'll mind your money for you. All you have to do is open them up once in a while to get reminders on upcoming bills, see how much you've spent dining out this week, or check your daily allowance of cash to spend. Lots of different ways to manage your money. And the topic of our app chat today with our resident reviewer, Ellis Hamburger, reporter at The Verge here in New York. He joins us in our CUNY studios here. Well, good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
What's your go-to money managing app? Give us a little range of them. And
of course, there's an app for that, right?
Yes, there is.
You'd think that slogan would be out of style now, but it's seemingly just getting hotter. I use an app called Level that I really, really like. And this company is based out of San Francisco. And it's a very simple back-of-the-envelope calculation that this app does, which is how much money can I spend today. But it's really brilliant because there's nothing I've seen that digitally does this for you. And it keeps an eye on your bank account so you don't ever have to update it. You can do the back-of-the-envelope on paper if you want. But you're going to have to calculate yourself every time you spend money. How much can I spend? And in an age when a lot of us are spending using debit cards and credit cards, you know, these transactions are filing right into these digital filing cabinets for you. You know, you can just have somebody calculate it for you. So the way Level works is the first thing you do in the app is you set up how much money do I make each month. So let's say you make $2,000 a month and $1,000 goes to rent and $100 goes to this, $100 goes to this.
Right.
You put in the 2,000 and you tell them how much money your bills are. So factors out your bills. You're left with this sum, which is money that you can spend over the entire rest of the month. Okay, great. I've got $800 to spend. How much can I spend this weekend? How much can I spend tomorrow? And so what it does is it breaks it up over the course of however many days are left in the month. And so it divides that 800 by 30 or 25. And then you see exactly how much you have each day. So if you spend a little over one day, you spend a little under one day, you can really get a good eye for, am I on track to break even at the end of the month or not?
Right.
And it also serves as a great way to keep track of everything that you spent, which is really important because, you know, in the age of balancing checkbooks, you want to make sure that everything adds up. And with this, I might check every day, every 2 days, and if any transactions look unfamiliar, I can contact the bank or the credit card. So it does both of those things really well.
You say in balancing a checkbook,
I've never done it.
I was about to ask you. No one, you know, only people of your age, certainly of a certain generation, they don't know what I'm talking
about.
That
statement I just made, I based on a conversation I had 2 minutes ago about what balancing a checkbook is.
Right. Somebody told you what it was.
Yeah.
How to balance. So how do you, so are people then just allowing the bank to balance things for them or allowing apps to do it, or there's no need to balance a checkbook anymore?
I don't think there is much of a need to balance, especially I think you got to keep track. There are times when maybe a cashier makes a mistake, like they charge you twice instead of once, or
right.
Or maybe your PayPal account gets hacked or something like that, which happened to me one time. And in today's day and age, you're almost never liable, especially with credit card transactions, as long as you contact them within a day or two.
Right.
And let's say the transaction, which it generally is going to be somewhere else around the country, you really got to make sure you know what's happening in your account more than really, really worrying about something unusual showing up. But your question about allowing the banks to do it for you, allowing these apps to do it for you, I think that's a trend you're seeing across not just banking apps, but we talked before about mail apps and a few
right.
of these email apps. You have to authorize these email apps to look at your mail every 2-3 minutes and so they can compress it and send it to you in a smaller package to your phone. You say,
mm-hmm.
okay, but Do I want them looking at my mail? Well, it's the same thing with these apps like Level and some of the other apps we can talk about. And I do trust them. I think that I'm born of this time where I don't believe like anybody specific is out to get me. And generally, I feel pretty safe and I haven't had too many problems.
Mm. Our phone number is 844-724-8255 if you'd like to talk about apps. 844-SciTalk. You can also tweet us at SciFry. Are there apps, though, for people of the old school that just still want to do a simple checkbook, you know, and go through the bank that way?
I think the checkbook is a metaphor that isn't really being used anymore. If you are looking for something like that, though, you can absolutely go to your bank website. Let's say I use Chase, and you can look at all your transactions. You know what's the funniest thing to me about going to a website like this is that they say, okay, you can look at your transactions, but what month do you want? You want your February statement, your
right.
March statement, and
right.
I say, I don't know. I just want to see all my
right.
transactions. And maybe that's been the way things have been done, where they bill you at the end of the month or your credit card bills every month. But I think we're going to increasingly move towards these less temporal ideas for how to manage this kind of thing. And on those websites as well, you can send a check and they'll mail it for you. Or you can use a variety of other ways.
Or you can take pictures of a check to deposit it now, right?
Right. The funny thing about that is that the paper doesn't matter, right? They're just scanning the number, the routing number and the account number at the bottom of the check, and they're saying, okay, let's do it. That almost to me seems less secure.
Well, but speaking of secure, you have to be able, maybe my generation feels less secure about being secure.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust that when I give out my bank account to somebody in an app and, you know, my password and all that stuff, that no one's going to hack it or hijack it or anything like that.
Right. It's definitely a concern. And that's why a lot of websites these days are implementing something called two-factor verification, which means that, okay, if somebody wants to get into your account, they not only need to figure out your password, which people have actually become pretty adept at doing, or they go through the phone customer service and they know four things about you that are
right.
publicly available, and they convince the person to let you reset the password. That's how a lot of people get hacked. But with two-factor verification, you set up your password, but then you also give them your phone number.
Yeah.
And so anytime you log in from a strange IP address, a strange computer, a new computer, your new iPhone you get, they're going to text you or call you and say, hey, is this okay? And I think that increasingly almost every site where your data matters is going to use that.
Now, there is actually an app called BillGuard,
yeah.
right? Tell us about that, because it'll help you from fraud.
Yeah, BillGuard is really interesting, and there's a big data aspect here, too. So, of course, like all these bank apps, you plug in your bank information, you tell them your bank password, and they check your account every few minutes, and they might send you a push notification if something seems strange. But what they do is, here's the balancing checkbook metaphor popping up again. You open the app, and it shows you all your most recent transactions, and you're going to say, okay, swipe, this one's fine, swipe, this one's fine. This one looks a little unusual. You could tap it. And there's this cool meter that says, how much does BillGuard trust this merchant, this transaction? And if a lot of people are marking it or flagging it, kind of like an email, you're going to mark it as spam, there might be a little red icon that says, you know, you might want to think about this or call your credit card company or
yeah.
whatever. And the cool thing, though, is that they'll actually do some of it for you. You can hit a button and they'll actually contact the merchant for you and try and resolve the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't actually used that myself since, to be honest, I haven't had a bad charge in at least a few years. But they'll do it for you. Just with the touch of a button.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 844-724-8255. Let's go to Andrew in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey there.
I was wondering if there... I just recently got married, and we put our bank account together. I was wondering if there is something for that both of us can look at on two different phones.
Can you share? Can you share one account on two different phones? I guess if you log in... Thanks for calling. I guess if you log in with the right passwords, there's no reason why you can't.
You know, I can tell you about apps for couples.
Oh.
I don't know about banking apps
yeah.
for couples, but I don't see any reason why you can't log in with the same password on two different phones. Maybe not at the exact same time, but that should certainly work. You enter in your password from your phone, and let's say you do the two-factor verification like I was telling you about. As long as that phone is recognized, as long as you set it up for the first time with your spouse, I don't think it should be a problem.
Now, do the apps keep track You've entered all this information. I have rent. I have my mad money. Mm-hmm. I have my drinking bill. I have whatever it is.
What's the drinking bill? That's what I want to hear more
about. How much
about.
Beer I'm going to spend, money I'm going to spend on beer.
Beer money. That's
craft,
a term I know.
Craft beer, you know, that month. Does it say, hey, you know, you're getting low. You better do something about putting money in your account because you have these expenses that are coming up, these monthly expenses.
Yeah, so that's one of the cool things these apps do is that they can categorize your spending. So whereas Level says, here's your total you can spend. Right. It really, you know, it aims for simplicity where something like BillGuard or Mint, which is a real old guard online banking service, which I also like and has been around for years, lets you look at all your bank accounts in one dashboard. But with BillGuard specifically, since we were talking about that, you can open the app and there's a tab, look at the analytics. You can look at your spending over the course of the last few months. You could do it month by month. But you can also say there's a little bar that says you spent this much on shopping. Right. You spent this much on groceries. You spent this much on gas. Oh, maybe you went a little over. Like what you spent more than you did last month in this category. Why don't you consider what you've been doing? And I think that kind of transparency is really brand new to a lot of people who are used to spending money and they're used to doing this back of the envelope calculation where you say, okay, well, I have this much to spend, but I also haven't paid my rent yet. So I got to factor that in, but something like Level factors the rent in before you've even paid it.
How about these new apps, or maybe they're just bank account apps that allow you to quickly just wire, as we used to say, wire cash to people immediately?
Yeah. So there are a few. One out of New York that's actually getting very popular. You might have seen the ads in the subway. Is called Venmo, and it makes sending money to a friend maybe as friendly and as non-intimidating as it can possibly be. You know, it's trying to make sending money to somebody very fun and light.
Right.
That's not the easiest thing to do. So on Venmo, I sign up and I plug in my bank accounts. And you sign up, you plug in your bank account, and it's kind of like a very mobile, easy-to-use version of PayPal where I say, okay, I type in the number, I send $8 to IRF for the craft beer.
Okay.
You hit a little note and you hit send. And that's about it. Generally, they take a day or so to go through your accounts. Maybe it pulls from my account immediately, but you don't get it for 2 days. That's generally the practice you've been seeing. But I think it's super common, even within big banks like Chase, something like QuickPay. A lot of people use that to pay rent to their roommate or what have you. And it makes it really simple to just hit a button and send somebody money. And, you know, if it's within the same bank, they don't have to go through this complicated automated clearinghouse, which is
you may get
dozens
your money
of
faster.
Years old. Yeah. So this automated clearinghouse concept.
They don't keep it over the
concept,
weekend.
Keep it over the weekend. They're not making money on your money.
Right. Talking with Alice Hamburg, a reporter at The Verge here in New York City on Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. We got a couple of phone calls in there. People want to talk about it. Let's go to Denver. Daniel in Denver. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Hey, I just was curious. Are you familiar with, it's called ISIS Mobile Wallet?
Yes, I am.
So I was just curious because I work for a wireless retailer and, you know, you get a lot of customers who are sort of iffy about the security because obviously it's an NFC secured SIM card, but just your opinion about, you know, the security of ISIS Mobile Wallet and your opinion on it.
I think that with all these carriers that are supporting ISIS, their entire reputation is on the line. And I think they really have gone through the due diligence with a lot of these technologies like ISIS. I mean, they've tried very hard to prevent other people, like let's say Google, to put their Google Wallet NFC payment system on phones. They said, no, we want a piece of this. We want a piece of everybody paying with their phone. And I think they have gone through the diligence to try and figure out the security of those things. And a lot of your vital information is stored on what they call a secure element of a lot of these chips, like the Touch ID data on the new iPhones, like your fingerprint is stored on the secure element. And I think I would really trust it. But like I was telling you, once again, when you're using ISIS, you're probably paying with a credit card, or let's say a debit card, but let's say you're paying with a credit card, you're not going to be liable for anything that could happen. Anybody uses your credit card without you knowing it. So I really wouldn't worry.
Now let's go to the phones. Let's go to San Jose. Lisa, hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was calling from San Jose, now I'm calling from Campbell.
You've moved.
But yes, I've been moving. So, Ira, I'm with you. I still balance his checkbook, and my kids are getting to the age of needing to learn to manage their money, and I'm debating on how to educate them on this. I balance my checkbook so I know what I have at any point in time, but how do these mobile apps handle things like checks that haven't cleared yet or checks that haven't been deposited yet? Money that you know that you owe someone or that's going to hit at some point.
Right. How do you know what the current state of your accounts are up to that minute and what's not resolved yet?
That's a good question. That's one of those gray areas where the system, Skynet, doesn't know where the money is right now. And the tough part about that is that only you know. And some of these apps like Mint, they let you manually edit how much money you've spent, or you could input that check on Mint if you wanted manually before it's cleared. But one of the cool things about this app like Level is, let's say you do pay with checks still. If you have a recurring check that you're going to pay every month, you could still enter it in there as like, okay, I'm going to foresee paying this check every month. And you could try and manage it that way. But you're right. There's still, you know, with paper, there's going to be something lost. And I would argue that's one of the benefits of doing these things digitally, is that you really do have a lot of transparency about exactly what's happening. And you don't have to worry about something's lost in the mail or what have you.
Is there some functionality that doesn't exist yet that you want to see?
That I want to see?
You want to see in one of these financial apps or banking app or something that you can't do yet.
I'm with our friend who was talking about ISIS. I think that mobile payments are something that's becoming increasingly mainstream. And one of the things that I wish would happen is, and some people think is going to happen, is that a company like Apple, let's say specifically Apple, I think, has 800 million credit cards. Maybe it's 800 million iTunes accounts, but most of them have credit cards attached, and they already have your payments information. You got your new phone with the fingerprint reader. That's as good of a verification as any, and your phone is so precious to you that you know you're keeping this on you. And you say you walk into a store, and I don't know, you touch your phone to the console they have at the store, or just using your location, you tap "I'm here," you put your finger on there, and your face pops up on the screen, and they just tap on you. And you can already do that with, let's say, something like Square Wallet or PayPal, which I've started to see in a lot of places, especially around New York. You tap the place that you're at, and you swipe to say, I'm checking here. In here, and then they can see your face on the machine. They just tap you. It's a little awkward still.
All right, Ellis, we'll be back when that app comes out, and we'll talk about it.
Sounds good to me.
Ellis Hamburger, reporter at The Verge here in New York. Thanks for joining us
today. My pleasure.